Hey, it's Chris Jericho, and you're listening to the Blues Hockey Podcast. Go Blues!
Back to the Blues Hockey Podcast with Jason Wall and Chris.
Yo.
All right. So it's our huge, fantastic, insert your own adjective, preview show for the Blues this year, the 2022-2023 season preview for the Blues. Probably I enjoy the most because just
sure. You
know, we have obviously when they win and do great stuff like the Stanley Cup, that's also very fun. But this is always a good one. It's like a new year. You get the whole like, everything's in front of you. Hope is all in your system, and you're thinking like it's gonna be great. Especially after we had the unfortunate the Cardinals crap in the bed.
I was gonna say, what's the old phrase? One door closes, another door opens.
So Cardinals.
The end of baseball brings the start of hockey.
Unfortunately, Cardinal season ends, and then Pujols and Molina's careers are officially over.
Wainwright not officially done.
Not officially, but it kind of to me it made it seem like that.
See, I thought all season that all three of them, this was it. They were going out together.
The way they're advertising it made it seem very much like that.
Then all of a sudden, the playoffs was like, we say goodbye to Albert and Yachty, and I was like, oh, we're just going to say F Wainwright, and
yeah,
I was like, whoa, it's not official.
He hasn't officially come out and said anything, so
it's time. I like him, but I think it's time.
I think it's just, you know, shut it down. I mean, you had a great career. Turn it over to whoever and let him do what, you know, eventually we got to start moving on to the next level of people, basically.
It will be very weird to not see number four behind the plate. I think even more than not seeing Albert because we've gotten used to over the last handful.
Yeah, this one is just kind of like a bonus, basically, this year having him on the team.
And what a bonus it was, but it really is going to be the end of an era. I mean, I'm not nearly as knowledgeable in baseball as I am in hockey, but I think you'd have to say that Molina is one of the top 10 catchers of all time.
I think so. He'll get in.
First ballot Hall of Famer?
He'll get in based on defense alone. I mean, he has a lot of hits, and he's been around forever, and he's won how many gold gloves, 2 World Series.
And a silver glove, which I think
silver or
platinum or whatever.
Whatever it is, yeah. So he's silver or slugger, whatever it is. So he's done it all, so... Congrats to those two.
I would think first ballot Hall of Famers, but I also know that baseball is really weird.
Yes, that's correct. So we get to do our big Blues preview. So cue the music, Chris, please.
Sure. Blues preview.
All right, and there we are. So 2022-2023 season, we kind of went over everything that's happened so far. So basically the Blues didn't do much in the offseason. Re-signed Nick Leddy for 4 years.
Which I thought was great.
Okay, and then you basically flipped Ville Husso's rights to the Red Wings for a third-round pick. So you got something for basically nothing because you knew you weren't going to bring him back.
100%.
You unfortunately didn't sign David Perron, which is one we all thought was a foregone conclusion.
I thought if anyone was getting re-signed, it was David Perron.
So David Perron leaves. It's more guys leaving than anything this offseason. We weren't bringing anybody. It was a lot of like, hey, we're going to have guys compete for the fourth line. Like we bring in the Martin Frick, this Highmore, Josh Levio, who we'll talk about. Hoping Klim Kostin steps up, but that didn't happen. More news on that coming up.
Right. Jake Neighbors is projected to make the club.
Yeah, so Jake Neighbors. Nikita Alexandrov had a very good – basically made it to the last possible second. Got assigned literally – scores a goal in the big preseason finale and then unfortunately gets sent down. So he made a good impression. So he will probably be one of your handful of call-ups to start.
I would imagine so. I know that he got injured early in the preseason, but Scott Perunovich is a guy who you expect to play a bigger role in this team. Maybe the second half of the season.
Tyler Pitlick had a pretty decent camp and unfortunately got an injury right at the end, then got released from his PTO.
Which sucks.
That could be a guy I wouldn't be shocked when he's healthy. Let's say in a few months or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If the Blues possibly need a body, you guys see him come back to the fold.
Yeah, so, I agree. And let's also discuss the elephant in the room, which, again, is the elephant in the room for this season. And that is that as of right now, and it sure seems like he's not going anywhere this season, Vladimir Tarasenko is still a St. Louis Blue.
Yeah, and...
Playing well.
I'll
give it to the guy. I did not think last year, as much as he said it won't be a distraction, I was like, We've seen how this works in all sports. To his credit, he had one of his best years and was, by all accounts, phenomenal teammate. And I got to imagine the same thing for this year. But I still, in the back of my mind, think that at some point, unless this team legitimately looks like it's going to go on a cup run, and not just win a round or two, but like make a run for another Stanley Cup, I got to think they move him. Don't you?
I would think if...
At this point,
unless you're at the point of like, you're like, okay, we're going to go for it, and not making a trade is like making a trade. You know, that old saying, which we all love. But
at this point, I would even take a second round pick. I look at it, and I'm sure that there are ways to break this down differently than I look at it. But I look at the fact that 2 years ago, you let Petro walk for nothing.
And then before that, Backus, technically.
Right. You're looking at potentially your third major player in 6 years just walking and getting nothing. And we've talked about how the cupboard for the Blues is not as deep as it was, say, 5, 6 years ago.
Correct.
At this point, even if you only get a first and a second for him, it's something. It's better than just watching him drive off into the sunset as a free agent. But, you know, look, I'm sure we'll discuss that much more in this show in the weeks and months to come. But yeah, let's get into this team, because I think there's a lot of good things to talk about, and I still think that there are a lot of question marks.
Yeah, so I am it's gonna be very interesting to see what this team does, because there wasn't much turnover. I think this is one of those things where we've talked about ad nauseum after the playoffs last year. If Binnington's fully healthy and our defense was at least mildly healthy,
yeah,
going at like having Krug for a full Colorado series. And yeah, I even said, even if Colorado's fully healthy, remember Devin Toews got hurt during our series and was out the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he's one of their, you know, top three or four defensemen. I still firmly believe not being a homer or whatever, that goes to seven games, and it's a coin flip on the game seven.
I think that if Jordan Binnington doesn't get taken out of that series, we 100% go to game seven.
Yeah, and Husso just, after the game one against Minnesota, just whatever reason, just is pressure, I don't know.
Looked great in game one.
And then after that, nice. Just not great. So, I mean, you have to argue about how Binnington looked during the year. He was the same way.
Same.
We kind of mentioned the Rutherford article during the year where he talked to Jordan Binnington, and Binnington said he was – the way he motivated himself early in his career was he played angry.
Right.
And pissed off at people. And obviously with all the quote-unquote antics he does, and that's why a lot of people don't like him and stuff, all the, you know, stick swinging, going after Carlson when we played San Jose. And he said, like, but I achieved all this stuff already. Like, I made the NHL. I won a Stanley Cup.
I got
the bridge deal. Then I wanted a full deal, and I got that. And I had nothing to really – so I was doing basically a, like, you know – so basically he just had – like I say, he had nothing to be motivated for, but, like, there's nothing to be angry at anymore. So he's being angry, but there's really – that was – there's no motivating factor. So it seems like he went back to his agent, Mike Liut, and kind of had a heart-to-heart with him and basically said, like – I don't know what to do here. And basically, Liut said, you've done it before. You just got to figure out what motivates you now. And obviously, it seems like he found it near the end of the year in the playoffs.
He really did. He looked as good in those playoffs as I've ever seen him. You know, he was making the saves that he made during that 2019 Cup run that would make you jump out of your seat. And those were saves that, by and large, most of the regular season last year we didn't see.
Yeah.
You know, he would, as we like to always say, make the hard saves look easy and the easy saves look hard. Yeah. He became,
Jake Allen,
sadly, what we like to refer to as your typical Blues goalie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he got it together in the playoffs, and he looked unbeatable.
Yeah, he looked like the Cup run Jordan Binnington.
Yep.
So that's like our first key for this season is – what Jordan Binnington are we getting? Are we getting the regular season one from last year? or the playoff one. I think if you get something in between that where it's a guy who can steal you some games, and obviously having a guy do that many games, and he's got, I'll be honest, I don't have much faith in Thomas Greiss.
I think he's a one-year stopgap before Joel Hofer is ready to move on.
Yeah, and I think that as well. I think that's why you didn't get Lindgren, because Lindgren wanted more security, and he got the three-year deal.
Yep.
And we talked about that as well. But yeah, I think our key number one for this season is Jordan Binnington. If he can be like he's been in the past, even like after the Blues won the Cup, that 2020 season.
He was phenomenal.
Before COVID shut everything down. He was all-star. All-star.
Yeah, you know, there was no Cup hangover from this team.
Yeah. So it was great. If he can get to that level again, that season after, because I think there was games where he like started off great, had a couple bumps, was great again, a couple bumps, and he keeps doing that, that's the goalie I'll take.
Sure.
So I'm fine with that. So next, getting into I think it's our defensive core is obviously the one that a lot of people question, because you have a lot of guys making a lot of money.
Yes, you do.
So you have Colton Parayko entering his new deal. Another 8 years with him, 6.5 per. That seems to be going right back there, as both Krug and Falk have the similar deal for 4 more years at 6.5. And then obviously you sign Letty for another 4. I'm like okay with like everybody that's there, and I know one of our friends was like very down on our defensive system. It's gonna be interesting because we do not have Jim Montgomery this year, who helped run like the PK and some other stuff. So I'll be very interested to see how that happens. If the defense can bend it not break again, I think that'll be good. I think having Letty for a full season, he moves the puck and skates, might be the best skater back there besides Perunovic. I think Krug is right behind him, but I think Letty's actually a better skater and passer.
Yes, 100% agree with that.
Yeah, so I think if you get in health back there as well, make sure you have healthy back there, because obviously that got screwed up real quick when we had 8 one-way defensemen down to 6 already.
Yeah.
You had Marco Scandella go down for 6 months with a hip injury in training.
Yep.
We were obviously, not to be down on Marco Scandella, but we were very much like, okay, it's okay. We'll see you back around playoff time as an extra guy. Cool, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Freed up some cap room for the Blues, $3 million. The one that is concerning is Scott Perunovic.
Agreed.
So Perunovic playing well this postseason. Preseason. Goes into the boards, braces himself for a very every game check.
Pedestrian.
And he just puts his arm out and then hunches over right away. That was a game that was broadcast on the Chicago side.
Yeah.
So you're able to see the replay, and it was circulating around Twitter there. Comes back and he fractured his shoulder. So as much as it sounds bad, it's not a ligament or something like that. That would be more concerning to me.
Right.
So with it being a fracture, and obviously in the past it was a wrist, a shoulder. It was apparently the same shoulder, I believe. And are we at the injury-prone level? Because he was kind of like not happy about like that label when Rutherford asked him about it. Because he's like, I've never been injured my whole career. All of a sudden, two years, I've had 2 significant injuries.
Right.
In the playoffs last year, everybody was all over his jock about how well he was on the...
Yeah, I thought he did great.
In limited duty. My thing is like... This was the year for him to prove it. Like, agreed. I can handle doing whatever. And I think that's why you heard those little whispers about Krug possibly trying to get moved. Because they were hoping Perunovic could assume basically that role. Then you have Letty back there. And who knows what they are going to do with, they're supposedly at least following up on the Chychrun stuff. They've been out there a lot. Friedman came out recently on his podcast and said the Blues are still talking to them after all this time.
Right.
I got a feeling it's going to be like the Jay Bomeister thing. So
years in the making.
Yeah, it was one of those things where they talked on and off about trading Jay Bomeister from Calgary for over 18 months.
Yep.
And it finally got done during one of the off, during the season. It was like after one off season, they went through a whole season and then another half a season before it finally got finished. Mind you, a great deal because you got Jay Bomeister for, I believe it was like Rito Barra, Mark Kundari. I can't believe I remember this. Mark Kundari and a first round pick.
Sure.
If somebody can check me on that, and that's the ridiculous what goes on in this brain.
Good for you.
I remember. So hopefully your defense holds up. What do you think about the defense going into this season?
I think that the defense has proven to be very good this preseason. I think when you're discussing Perunovic, is he injury prone? maybe. You know, he says this is the first time in his career that he's had to deal with back-to-back major injuries. I think when you're playing any sport at that high of a level, you know, and I'm sure you heard it a lot when you played, that there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. There's a good chance that there was a hairline fracture in that shoulder from years ago, and he just got hit the right way, and it finally, like, really fractured it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm nearly positive that during my time playing basketball and football that I played with broken toes and broken fingers and things like that. But since they're just hairline fractures and you can still move them and do what you need to do, you play through it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what will concern me is if we get to a point like we were with Robbie Fabry or we were with Vladimir Tarasenko, where it's the same injury over and over and over. That's what will concern me. Like, if he comes back and immediately again busts his same shoulder.
Yeah.
That would concern me.
Yeah, so so back there, and there was some, like, production, but some good news considering prospect-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Kessel, a third-round pick.
No relation.
Yes. No relation to Phil. Did you see the picture what he got for his birthday? He got a hot dog cake.
Yeah.
That was great. But played very well. And so did Tyler Tucker, who's a guy who's been in our system for a little bit and it seems like he's working his way up. So that's really good news to hear that those guys are working their way to possible call-ups this year. Like, you might hear those names coming up this season, depending on hopefully not that many injuries.
Fingers crossed.
So the last thing I got down for, there's, I mean, obviously a lot more stuff to go over, but the question marks for me is, who is your fourth line? And that was something going into this season that I think Doug Armstrong and Craig Berube want to establish a identity for this team. And I think they did part of that by acquiring Noel Achari.
Yes.
So I think, obviously, he's very well known for the Game 5, quote-unquote, trip that happened from Tyler Bozak, and David Perron scored the go-ahead goal. So he did. That was brought up in an interview, and he was like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. He tripped me. So we'll just leave it at that. And pretty much that was it, which was funny. So fourth line, they bring in a bunch of guys. They brought in, we talked about a couple. Martin Frick, Highmore was another guy.
Yep.
They are going to give, you know, they said Jake Neighbors, if he was not a top nine guy, was going to get sent down, where they're not going to put on the fourth line.
I don't blame them.
You're hoping, they were hoping Klim Kostin would make a move there. Alexei Torpachenko, good news on that front is that he was slated for December. And then he was skating during the training camp. So, like, we don't know when he's going to be available, but it's going to be sooner than December.
Sure.
Great. He was doing contact drills with Steve Ott.
Great.
So that's a guy that that played so great in the fourth line.
He really did.
And that's the type of guy you want. So I think Achari is another guy who's, I say, Tyler Bozak-ish without the offense. He had an offensive flair a couple years ago. So, yes. But he's a guy who's going to kill penalties, win faceoffs, do block shots, do all that stuff. And that's what I think they want the fourth line to be. So now you got to figure out the right wing side. And that could be anybody from Barbashev was skating down there this year. Josh Lavio looks like he's, you know, he was put on waivers today. We're recording on the 9th of October. A lot of really good players. I say good players, but players that are pretty decent.
Sure.
That are like, you know, I'm surprised are on waivers. We're on waivers.
Right.
I think it's one of those where we're going to try to sneak him through. So if we need to send him down later, he's already cleared so they can just send him down without losing him.
Basically. Yeah, I don't disagree with that assessment.
So I think Josh Lavio is going to make this team, and I think that is going to be a good pickup. He was the Calder Cup AHL MVP who beat the Springfield, our Springfield team last year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done very well this preseason. Had a couple good assists to Buchnevitz the other night, so played really well. But the fourth line is my kind of question mark on this. And if you can get a solid fourth line, I think the rest falls into place. You obviously, looks like they're keeping the top line of Thomas in the middle with Buchnevitz on one side, Tarasenko on the other.
Yep.
Followed by the next line is going to be Jordan Kyrou on the right, Ryan O'Reilly in the center, and debatable now, it could be Braden Schenn.
Mm-hmm.
They, depending on what they do, could be Shen or Saad. They've had both skate there. So then the third line is kind of up in the air as well. So depending on what happens there, you have Shen or Barbashev, it looks like, is centering the third line. With Neighbors on one side, who's played very well, tied for the league lead in points during the preseason, or second place now. I think he moved into second after the last game. So he made the team, and then Josh Lavio made the team. So going to this year, what do you think about the four, like the identity of like not only the team, maybe the fourth line, because that's kind of like how your team goes is how this fourth line is
Go. You know, I think once you get Torpachenko back, he's going to be your glue on that line. He was so good last year, and he was kind of like the new incarnation of Sundqvist, where wherever you put him, he found his way. Mm-hmm. And I think that this team is going to need him. They're going to need a stabilizing force, because I think you'll have someone who's going to be fairly inexperienced back there. You know, I personally would like to see, as much as I would like to see Shen on a second line, I think that Shen might do better for us centering a third line with Jake Neighbors. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, and no slight to Ivan Barbashev, but let Ivan Barbashev prove to me that he can do this year what he did last year, and then I'll, you know, give him more credit. But I would almost rather see Barbashev on that fourth with Torpachenko and then plug someone in with him. I think that, you know, your top two are fairly set, like you said. And I think that those are great. You know, we only lost, of the nine players that scored 20 goals, we still have eight of them. The only one that didn't come back was David Perron.
Yep.
So there's still a lot of potential firepower on this team up and down the lines. And if they can continue to do that, then I think you're looking at a team that should have no problem qualifying for the playoffs in a 1, 2, or 3 position, not in a wild card spot. So if that happens, then you know I'm pretty good. I think that you know the two big wild cards are always going to be injury and where you sit people. But I think that this forward group is pretty strong.
Yeah, they've scored. They were like top three of the league last year scoring goals. So you minus David Perron out of that group.
Yeah.
But you're hoping guys like Jake Neighbors can come in. You're hoping Barbashev. I'm not expecting that to happen again. I'm expecting to be a very good forward group.
Agreed.
Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, Tarasenko came back strong last year. Bushnevitz had a career year.
Yes.
You're not going to expect every single person to have a duplicate year. You had to expect some fall off somewhere. Like
you had a lot of guys having career years last year. Yeah. A lot.
You know, Thomas was on the prove himself contract, and that was Jordan Kyrou. We talked about both of those guys are locked up now. So we have guys that are locked up. So how are they going to react now that they have that big deal? You're not fighting for that big deal anymore. Now you are like locked in making a lot of money.
Yep.
For a long
time. Easy to get content.
And also being the guy now. You're not like the supplementary player who, you know, on the third line who they're not really paying attention to, so you can, you know.
People are going to be watching for Jordan Kyrou.
Yeah, so.
People are going to be watching for Robert Thomas. They're not going to be the, oh, who's this guy anymore. Yes. Like, people know who they are, and that's the big difference. And I think, you know, you mentioned something about now that you've gotten paid. I think that goes right back to our earlier conversation about Jordan Binnington. You know, as much as you don't want to think that once you get that big paycheck, you downshift, but you certainly exhale a little bit because financially you're set.
Yep.
And that is, be it consciously or subconsciously, something that with all of us would make us kind of go, okay, don't got to worry about that anymore.
Yeah. So it's so interesting how this two group is going to line up. So we'll do a kind of Blues news mixed in at the end here, and then we'll do our predictions on where you think the Blues will finish. So the big news, Leasley, obviously when we record, usually this news happens afterwards. Right. For once,
true,
that actually happened before we recorded. Mm-hmm. So we talked about Klim Kostin fighting for a spot, and he was put on waivers. And I, along with probably a lot of people, I thought he was going to get claimed because, to me, he's a guy who's still like a reclamation project. You can still get something out of him.
I agree.
For being 23 years old and whatever. But he cleared waivers. I'm mildly at least shocked that nobody took a flyer. Like, I was expecting somebody like Arizona.
Or Philly.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Any of those teams, like, just to have a guy on the bottom lines, you can try to see if he's worth something. If not, you send him back down, and the Blues reclaim him, or at least you have a guy you can put in the minors, and he only has a one-year deal.
Agreed.
So I thought he'd be fine. But he cleared. So a little mildly shocking. The Blues lost nobody on waivers during this. I mean, we got Josh Levio, knock on wood, so far. That is, but like I said, hopefully they can get him through.
Right.
So the Blues decide, and of course they had to pick a guy with a really long name I'm probably going to mess up. So they go to the Edmonton Oilers, and Klim Kostin gets sent there. So they get sent to another Russian guy. So Dmitry Samarukov.
Cut your cock off.
Yeah, close enough. Drafted same year as Klim Kostin, about 52 picks afterwards.
All right.
So number 52, 53, 84th overall in the 2017 draft. He's a guy from – there's an article on The Athletic that was actually written about him by one of the Edmonton guys. Sounds very similar to Klim Kostin, a guy who they just wasn't really working out the way they thought, been fighting for a spot, kind of comes up for a little bit. He's played one NHL game so far. Who was that against, Chris?
St. Louis Blues.
It was, actually. He played 2 minutes and 28 seconds and was a minus two.
Awesome.
Not great.
But that's one game. 2 minutes.
It's also one game.
Right.
But it's going to be a depth guy that they're going to stash on AHL. Maybe you can find – hopefully you're looking at Klim Kostin. He's going to go up there. Hell, I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know. Maybe he goes and he's like – put him on the McDavid or Draisaitl side, and something clicks.
You know, it could. The guy clearly has talent. You know, was he captain of the team in the KHL that won?
I think an A, I think, at least.
Okay.
But still, yeah.
Yeah, the guy's got talent. He's got size. He's got all the tools. It just didn't get put together in St. Louis. And that happens a ton. And if Edmonton has a guy that's the same thing for them, you know, you take this project and we'll take yours, and maybe we can both turn chicken poop into chicken salad. I don't wish the guy ill, and I'll tell you right now, it wouldn't surprise me at all if you saw him get a shot with McDavid and Draisaitl and suddenly become a 20-goal scorer. We've seen it done many times with many players in Edmonton.
Yeah.
You know, and that I'm always going to come back to the fact that great players make other players around them great. They bring up the level of other players. Mm-hmm. And am I saying that they're going to take a guy that they just got who was, you know, left for dead and put him on the top line? No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, don't be surprised if at some point this season you see them throw him on the ice with them, assuming he makes the Edmonton club.
Yeah. Because he'll have to go through waivers for them, too. Well, right. He cleared waivers for us, so I honestly would have to read up, like, would he have to go put the waivers again on the Edmonton side to clear?
Right.
I would think not, but I think since he cleared already, he should be good. So
I would think, you know, I hope that this guy can get it together. You know, I hope that it doesn't turn out where he's a guy that just murders the Blues for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
But I always was a fan of the guy. I wanted it to work. I feel like he is the latest in the line of the Ty Ratties of this world that have all the potential in the world, but when you put him on an NHL rink, they just couldn't make it happen.
Couldn't do it. So overall, as we talked about his NHL career, but Samarukov has 30 points in AHL with 70 penalty minutes over 103 games. Kostin, on his part, so he's played 40 games with the Blues already, believe it or not.
Yeah, makes sense.
Over the amount of time we've had him. Had a total of 9 points, 4 goals, 5 assists, 23 penalty minutes. And the thing, there's been flashes of it, like where you've seen him like play really well for a couple games, and then you just, like you talked about, you were telling me the other day, like there's a game where he was playing in the preseason.
Didn't even realize he was on the team.
Nobody, and I saw it on Twitter, nobody knew he was playing the first two periods, and all of a sudden he scored a goal in the third period.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's playing this game. Great. So good luck to Klim Kostin. I still think the deal that happened where Kostin and Reeves for, we got Sundquist and Kostin for Reeves and whoever, and they sent that pick for more picks. So
yeah.
At the end of the day, still a win for the Blues in that
fourth part,
because now it's going to be known as the Oscar Sundquist trade. It's not going to be known as the Klim Kostin trade anymore, like Blues fans did for many years. So the Blues, finalizing the roster. They get that guy. He's probably going to get sent down, be with the AHL squad. Maybe a call-up, but he might be a guy that is going to get down there just to have more defensive depth, because obviously you're hurting right now with two big injuries. So the Blues are off to Charleston right now.
Yep.
To for a team bonding trip before the season starts. Season starts in about 6 days from now, next Saturday. So let's see. Any more Blues news? A lot of guys sent down. Nobody, like I said, nobody else got lost on waivers, which is great. No outside of the Scandella and Perunovic, no injuries. A couple of bumps and bruises. Barbashev was kind of knocked around. So was Kyrou. But everybody played well. So the preseason turned out really well for the Blues. So
when they lost bad.
Yeah, and that was an interesting one. Did you see all the news about that one, why they lost big?
Mm-mm.
So real quick, they won 5-4 against Arizona. Logan Brown playing well.
Yep.
He is currently knocked he wasn't knocked up, which would have been weird. Hurt.
Right.
So we don't know. It's an upper body injury. So he looked like he was ready to make the team too, which would have been awesome. He would have been your third line center.
Yep.
Then Shen would have moved up. And I think what I probably would have been Barbashev, Brown and Neighbors is my guess, the third line. So in flux until we figure that out. So Brown has had a good preseason, unfortunately, not with the club. So they win 5-4 in Arizona, shut out the Stars 4-0, beat the Hawks 4-1, win against the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-2, finally lose a game against the Dallas Stars, and then they win against the Minnesota Wild at home. And then here's the game Chris was just talking about where they lost big. So they lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets 7-0.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yes. And so the funny thing is they knew this game was one of the last games. So they called up all the guys who cleared waivers literally the day before. They called them back up because since they cleared waivers, they can go up and down, I think, for X amount of days. I think 30 days. So they called the guys back up. Hey, you guys are going to play this game. Nobody's really going to play. They really sent Jordan Kyrou, and that's about it.
Right.
I think Grice was the other guy who was there. Like, name guys who were going to be. Everybody else was pretty much Bortuzzo, I think, was the only defensive guy that was a regular.
Yeah.
So, just like last year, when they're going to play Columbus in the preseason, they had plane issues.
So weird.
So, mechanical issues. So, they were late getting there. So, they moved the time of the game back from 6 to 6:30. So, they get there. And they land at the 40-something minute mark before they're supposed to be at the thing. And then they got stuck in traffic.
Of course they did.
So they really get to the rink and had less than 20 minutes to dress and warm up.
Wow.
So the joke was the Blues Twitter when they win against Chicago the next 2 days later when they had more of the NHL lineup, they win 6-0 in Chicago. They said, oh, this is what happens when we warm up.
Right.
Which is funny. So it's funny that the Blues just had no time to warm up and they're just like, hey, go out there and play. And got the brakes beat off them by the Columbus Blue Jackets, which was interesting and funny. So, but then they do the same in Chicago. Chicago probably did the same thing because I didn't see who really played on Chicago.
Chicago dressed their team.
I saw Taves in the highlights.
Taves was there. Kane was there. I don't know if our boy Seth Jones was there.
I know the Mrazek started. Mrazek started. So that was their big that's their starting goalie.
I don't remember
goalie.
Who else.
So, so the Blues had a really good preseason, 4-2. We talked about Jordan Binnington at the beginning, hopefully he plays well. Well, if preseason is any indicator, he's going to be okay.
Should also be noted that 4-2 win against the Wild, Binnington only played the first two periods and had shutout.
Yeah, and then he played the whole period against Chicago and shut them out.
Yeah.
So, had a total of 64 shots this preseason only and saved 62.
Correct.
So, very good. All right. So, very good. So, obviously, Grice had a game where he was pretty good. Then he had a game where he was not great, which I think is what's going to happen.
And then Hofer played the third period of the Minnesota game and looked fine. Both the goals that he gave up, one was a 6-on-4 empty net power play, and the other one was a phenomenal odd man rush that he really had no chance on.
Yeah, the one that
and he damn near scored a goal.
Yes, that was the other one where he literally had almost a goalie goal like he did last year in the AHL. Literally missed by
less than 4 inches, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Close. Where we were sitting, it looked like it grazed the post, but they showed it again, and there was maybe 4 inches between the puck and the post. And then he shot another one that was going dead center, and someone jumped up and batted it out of the air.
So I know the crowd booed because I heard about that.
They started feeding him the puck, which I thought was hysterical.
Yeah. So, interesting to see what he does. So he's obviously that's really great. That's gonna be good for Blues transition game when he is up here. So I haven't really done too much homework on Grice, knowing that that's maybe I should add that to our questions, because if Thomas Grice really can't handle it, are you really gonna hopefully hope Joe Hofer can be the guy if you have to pick up somebody? Because goaltending around the league is scarce right now. Like, really, like, so it's hard to find. A couple guys are trying to get snuck through right now. Aaron Dell, who's over in San Jose, and some other guys. So I wouldn't be surprised he gets picked up due to some teams not really having great goaltending. Arizona.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because remember last year they had a former Blues goalie, Carter Hutton, come in. Loved Carter Hutton when he was here. Unfortunately, not so good. Yeah, he got, every time I saw he was just getting lit up. I think he had a goals against that was close to four, which is that's like the 80s type of goals against, basically. Yeah. So, all right, we talked about virtually everything for the Blues here, from the goaltending, and we can get into all the nitty-gritty about that, but we talked about Binnington is the key.
Mm-hmm.
If he can hold up, play well, I think the Blues will be in good shape. If you rely a little bit on Grice, if Grice even can't handle it, you maybe have to turn to Hofer for a little bit. Hopefully your team defense and everything can play well, because you have a lot of veterans back there. You don't have really question marks back there. You
agreed.
Youngest guy back there is Nico Mikkola.
Who's played well.
And so that, to me, you have a very veteran guy, so you shouldn't be seeing, like, rookie mistakes back there.
I'm looking at you, Colton Parayko.
Yes. Unfortunately, we still have that game six Colorado thing. So the Blues,
that was a terrible game for him.
Unfortunately. And then, unfortunately, his dad knows that, too, now.
Yeah. Yep. So, not sorry, Mr. Parayko.
So the Blues have kind of a tough division. Obviously, Colorado, to my opinion, got slightly worse by losing a couple of guys.
Yeah,
they picked up some other guys. My thing is their goaltending now is even more question mark. I never was a massive fan of Kemper.
No,
but now you're relying on Georgiev, who was the backup in New York last year.
Right.
Pavel Francouz, who was the other goaltender that they had, was hurt during their time last year. But they still have a lot of their good. They have all their good players still. Nathan McKinnon's there for a long time after signing a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. Landeskog is hurt, correct?
Right now is hurt. Yeah. So, but they still have a lot of great players there. Lost Kadri, but lost a couple, and Barakovsky. You're hoping some of their rookies can step up, but they're had lesser roles last year.
Right.
So I expect Colorado still to be very good and probably take first place as well.
I would think so.
And then after that, I honestly think it's a crapshoot to me, in my honest opinion with everybody.
I think that, assuming there's no cup hangover, which sometimes there is, I think that Colorado is still the best in the division. I think you get past Colorado, and you're looking at really Minnesota and St. Louis as the next two.
Yeah. I honestly think Nashville, if Saros has an MVP-type season,
if Saro plays well, yes.
Yeah, and they had guys who figured it out last year, like Duchene started scoring last year and some other guys. So if that happens again, they brought in Nino Niederreiter from Carolina. Yep. So they brought in McDonough. So to me, I think they kind of –
They made moves.
So to me, they're at least on Minnesota's level, and I wouldn't be surprised if they are kind of like – challenge. They're going to be in the playoffs for sure, in my opinion, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of fighting for that third place more than just the wild card, though.
I look at Nashville, and I still have a lot of question marks because you don't know how that team's going to work together. I put Nashville in the same grouping that I would put Dallas and maybe Winnipeg.
A lot of people are picking Winnipeg to make a big comeback this year.
People pick Winnipeg every damn year. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. I get it back through the 2019 season. That team has not been the same since the Blues knocked them out in the first round of the playoffs in 2019. I don't know what mentally the Blues did to that team, but it broke them. It broke the Winnipeg Jets. I don't get the love affair with Connor Hellebuyck. I think that he's decent. I don't think that he is a guy who's going to win you a Stanley Cup like everyone else in the world thinks he is. I think that Scheifele is good, but I think that his temper gets the better of him a lot of times.
And I think the attitude he has, which supposedly has wrecked the
room. He's supposedly not a good locker room guy.
Remember, Blake Wheeler over there got the captaincy stripped from him.
Uh-huh.
So, interesting that they're kind of tearing the quote-unquote vets down.
Stastny left. So, I think that there are four levels to this division. I think the basement is purely owned by the Chicago Blackhawks. They're
awful.
And Arizona's going to be right there with
and
them.
And Arizona. All right. So
they're going to be challenging.
There's two people in the basement.
Okay. The hashtag for this year, for the top pick that I've seen, and I'm going to go with it because it's hilarious, is suck hard for bet hard.
Well, I think both these guys are going to be doing it.
Yeah. So,
I think if we're going to build this house from the bottom up, I think in your basement, you've got Arizona Coyotes, Chicago Blackhawks.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it's within a couple of points for those
two
teams.
Yeah, for real.
Because you're not going to see Patrick Kane with that team by the end of the year.
I don't think so.
No.
I think right above them is Winnipeg, Dallas, and Nashville. Nashville may be kind of floating between that floor and the next floor, which is the second floor, which is, to me, St. Louis and Minnesota, and then Colorado in the penthouse.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I think this is a division of haves and have-nots. It is not the brutal top-to-bottom division that it was, say, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely teams that you better bank some wins against. And then there's teams where you better strap in because you're going to be in for 60 minutes of hell. I think when you play Arizona, when you play Chicago, when you play Dallas, when you play Winnipeg, you better get points.
Yeah, I think there's a really good there's good players on a lot of the teams and up and coming players. I looked up and down a list, so I know like Arizona we talked about, not great. They got Keller and Chychrun. Chychrun will probably be dealt sometime this year.
Yep.
I wouldn't be doubt if it's the Blues. Honestly, I say Ottawa is my guess because I think
Ottawa seems to be making moves.
There seems like they're really trying hard to build that team.
Good
after
for them.
Melnick kind of passed away. His daughters are really trying to build that team up because I think they're going to sell, it sounds like, from everything. But they're going to try to do well there. So then you got Chicago, who is, after all the scandals and everything. And
just
I think
trash.
They're just trying to – I think they're at the point of, like, we got to tear it all down. We literally traded. We have no prospects. They did a lot of picking up guys last year. I think you see them tearing things down and going, getting the top pick and hopefully having a superstar out of Bedard and – building around him. That's literally what that's an obvious plan for them.
Suck hard for bet hard.
And then from there, to me, Winnipeg just seems like a team that is just crumbling from the inside.
Absolutely.
I think just the veterans there have kind of
it started with run, the Line A departure.
Yeah, and they just run things. Then after that, Dubois has already said, like, I'm out next year.
Yeah.
So he's going to be gone. So then there's another young player. So basically, you had a top pick in Line A, traded for another top pick in Dubois, and then you're literally trading him away, or he's going to get lost, or he's going to probably get traded or signed somewhere else.
Yeah.
Wheeler's at the end of his rope, making a crap ton of money, and he's not playing well. And you have Scheifele, but you still have Connor and Eilers and stuff. But in that defense, you used to be stout, and then it slowly fell apart after Byfuglien had to retire, and they lost a couple of guys, and it's really not what it was anymore. So they're there too. And then from there, to me, Dallas is, to me, they got Robertson signed, which is a very good thing for them. Ottinger signed, good. Two good foundational pieces. You lost Klingberg. You have Heiskanen back there, and that's about it. Lindell is a whatever. After that, they don't have much, in my opinion. I think Ben and Sagan have kind of lost their way.
Yes,
Tyler Sagan will be officially the highest paid player in NHL this year for cash-wise. $13 million.
Ugh.
So he's going to make a lot of money this year, and I just see them just hanging around, and they'll be a tough team here and there, but they'll have nights where they're not great either. So to me, my bold prediction is you're going to see a fall-off greatly with Minnesota. As much as I like Marc-Andre Fleury, I just don't think eventually it's just it's going to fall off for him. Like I really, really, really like him. I really do. It's like a very personable, like a likable player. Just eventually, like, that team is still have a lot of great players on it, but, you know, like, they just they got that big cap hit now, so they really couldn't bring anybody in. They're just trading guys left and right. So
right,
well, I think Minnesota is going to have that drop off, and they're just not going to be as good. And then Minnesota are going to be that coin flip for the 3-4 spot to me.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I see the Blues just eking it out for number 2. So whoever's in that 3-4 spot, the Blues will be right there with them. So that's what I mean, like, you're going to see the 2 through 4 spot be tightly contested, in my opinion.
Yes.
So I see the Blues just eking it out due to the stability they've had.
Mm-hmm.
They've only lost two guys. They lost Husso in the backup, and they lost Perron. So mind you, two good pieces, but you have hopefully guys that could step up in Neighbors. Grice, like I said, I'm not sold, but hopefully your right. defense can play. Yeah, now you have a solid veteran defense that could bail them out.
Yes.
So I see the Blues eking it out, making the number two spot. For my bold prediction, I'll make Nashville as number three, Minnesota's number four. Minnesota will still get a playoff spot. Colorado will take the division still. I still like Colorado is just – their top-end players are better than any other top-end players around in the league.
Yes, so, absolutely.
They have the best defenseman and best forward in the league on their team. So, to me, and they have the complementary players around to make them a very, very good team. So, Colorado, St. Louis, Minnesota, Nashville, Dallas, Winnipeg – and I'll do Arizona, and I'll do Chicago because I don't like Chicago. So,
where's Rafi when we need him?
Yeah, he's in there right now.
I was like, you go fuck yourselves, Chicago.
There you go.
There we go. So, yeah, so that is our big Blues preview. So let us know what you guys think is going to happen. So where you think the Blues are going to finish and how many points. I mean, point-wise, it's really hard to figure out.
Sure.
But – do you see the Blues getting above 100 points? Let's say that, Chris.
I think so.
100 points.
I think so. What were they last year?
A little above, 109, I believe.
Let's say 108, 109.
Yeah. So let's see if I can figure it out quickly here. Full 82 games, go on and so forth. They had 109 points. Look at that.
Okay.
49, 22, and 11 last year.
I think they'll be right around there. I think that, you know, I want to say right around 105.
I'll say 103 this year. So. Okay. But they're as an update right now, their Stanley Cup odds are plus 2,000.
Wow.
So not, I would say, top 15 in the league to win the cup, basically. But
when I was in Vegas last week, I stopped in a sports book, and the Blues were 20-1 odds to win the cup.
Yeah. Interesting kind of a year for the Blues. So is it the last ride for this group? Maybe. I'll be honest. Like, I think in the off season, we'll talk about it as the season goes along. It's something to watch. It's going to be a toss up between, I think, honestly, Vladimir Tarasenko and Ryan O'Reilly this off season, who they need to re-sign.
Well, I
just because of the amount of money they have. I'm not saying because of player wise. I mean, I think if they had,
I don't even know if it's a question at this point. You have one player who I think wants to still be here, and one who doesn't.
Which is interesting. Which will a little side note here. So. During one of the playoff games, I think it was a game against Columbus where they won 4-2. Tarasenko played, had a goal and an assist, or assist at least. Jim Thomas, say what you want about Jim Thomas. Like, I know he's a football guy and he's been covering the Blues just out of, you know, they need a guy, basically. Like, after the game, literally point blank asked him, so do you still want to be traded? Maybe not the place, in my opinion, not the place to do it, and kind of a ballsy move.
Right.
But whatever. And Tarasenko looked at him and said, I can't believe you're asking me that. Basically, why are you asking me that question right now? I can't believe we're still talking about this. I'm ready to – I said the same thing. I'm like, listen, man, if you said something that got out of the way earlier,
yeah,
it would have been there. And did I think it was a time for it after a game? No. Maybe during a media scrum after a practice or pull him to a side interview and bring him into it? Sure. After you just played a game and he's expecting game questions and you're like, do you still want to be traded? So it is what it is, but I'll give him
about it all he wants.
Yeah.
The ball's in his court. Like, clearly the team wants him. The fans want him. You saw that he did a public, which I thought was shocking, a public signing a few weeks ago.
And then sick for 3 days afterwards.
Of course. Which
happens.
But, like, dude, the line was around the building.
Yeah.
And you know that everyone who came up to him was like, please stay. Please stay.
Yeah. I'm sure.
So
I would love them to stay, too.
I would, too.
I think it's a matter of the amount of money they have. They'll have to do some maneuvering. They'll have to get rid of some guys. It sure doesn't
seem like it's money at this point, Jason. I still feel like he's kind of drawn this line in the sand, and he feels wronged by the team. And I don't know how you fix that. I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, Armstrong's got to go and have a sit-down. Because from all reports, he still has a good relationship with Armstrong.
Yeah, he basically said, I was in trading. He's like, when I have – Armstrong always said, like, if he had – I'm sure he's done with other guys. If I have the right value for you,
yeah,
I'll do the trade. But I'm not going to trade you away for scraps.
No. I don't know if there's a way to smooth this over. If there is, I hope.
Or if it has been smoothed over, for all we know.
I would think if it's been smoothed over, they would have put an extension on the board.
At least you would have heard about it through
contract talks, something.
Or something on the background where you just heard, like, the trade, like we heard going into during the season last year.
Right.
Like, he's apparently happy playing with Buchnevitz.
Still wants to be traded, but he's going to play.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, he's really happy. I haven't heard anything about the trade request, being around anymore. Then all of a sudden, the season ended last year, and a week into it, he still wants to be traded.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a way to smooth this over, I hope it can be done. I just don't know if it can. He seems like he is dead set on he wants out. And if that's the case, then I think at the end of this season, you put your efforts towards the guy who wants to be here, and that's Ryan O'Reilly. With all due respect to the tenure that Vlad has had with this team, if you don't want to be here, I'm not going to work to keep you here. I'm going to go spend money on the dude who helped me win a Stanley Cup and kept this team afloat for 3 months when everyone else sucked real hard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just where my head's at when it comes to the end of the year and signing Tarasenko or O'Reilly. I think O'Reilly has to be your number one.
Because it'd be interesting. The last two captains have left via free agency. So do you want to make it a third one? And that's the thing about Armstrong. I would be honest, he's really good at.
Yeah.
He has no emotional attachment like me and you or other fans where
you just can't.
And he's very good at that because that's why David Perron is not a Blue right now.
I know.
Because he basically looked at it and said.
That's why David Backes wasn't a Blue.
Yeah. He's like, he's this age. Can he keep doing this? Is it worth me spending this money? And I have less money to spend that I won't be able to bring back possibly Tarasenko or O'Reilly, but I'll be stuck with Perron next year.
Right.
And let's say I don't think he will. But maybe Perron won't put up the numbers he's used to, and then you're all of a sudden paying a guy $4 million to only put up 18 goals,
yep.
20 goals.
I mean, we saw it. We've seen it happen with many players around the league, not just Blues players, and we've talked about it a ton. And you're right. When you have a job like what Doug Armstrong has, you have to be surgical about it. You have to be cold about it. You cannot let emotions get in the way.
And like we've said many a times as well, I've said that line a lot tonight. There's a reason that guy is the GM of hockey. There's a reason he is the guy that puts together teams and that guy. And because Hockey Canada is kind of going through a thing right now with all the allegations and stuff.
Right.
But if they're an organization that puts that guy in charge of when that country lives and breathes.
Yeah.
That sport, and it's literally play like their places are shutting down to watch the Olympics and watch Team Canada play, and he's the guy who's basically picking the players. I mean, that's kind of a huge deal.
Agreed.
So if he's running my NHL team, have we gotten as many cups as over the years? No. For whatever reason, things have happened, unfortunately. Yep. But I think we have a damn good GM who's kept this team hella competitive,
yes,
for a really long time without having to do what Chicago is doing right now.
Strip it down.
Strip it down to nothing where you're just basically like, this team is going to suck so hard this year.
Yeah, I agree.
And we don't have that. We have a team where we, like, are they a top contender for the Cup? No.
But I think they're tier two.
But they're in the tier two to me for sure, a team that could surprise if they hit the right stride in the playoffs.
Yep.
So.
Window is open.
Yep, as of right now. So. That's pretty much our Blues preview for this year. We've got one more thing to talk about, and we'll get into a little thing we're doing with one of our sponsors, and we'll get out of here. So the last thing we have is what the Blues are doing.
Yep.
So the Blues have officially kind of doing what the Cardinals do. The Cardinals have their own kind of Hall of Fame deal. So Blues have finally done that, which is something that I think we really think is like something that's needed. Because there's a lot of guys that are great Blues, and just not NHL Hall of Famers, though.
Sure.
So, and that's what they're doing. So they're going to have this they already have an inaugural class kind of going in. So these guys are automatics. Like, kind of like when they started the Baseball Hall of Fame, they had guys who were automatically in. Like, I think Babe Ruth was one of them, and like Ty Cobb. I forgot who it was. But anyway, guys who are automatics in there. So the Blues have their automatics, which are basically all guys who have their numbers retired, which
makes sense.
So that would be Al McInnes, Bob Gassoff, Bob Plager, Barkley Plager, Sid Solomon, who was the original team owner of the Blues, Brian Sutter, Brett Hall, Bernie Federico, Chris Pronger, and Dan Kelly. Obviously, didn't have a number the retired, but he has the obviously he had the Kelly banner, which was up high. I believe it's like on the concourse now.
I don't remember.
I saw it late last year. It was in the concourse because it was hanging up for a long time, and there was something in the or maybe it was I'm thinking of the Doug Wickenheiser one. Anyway. So, but the cool thing is they're letting fans vote for. I don't know how many they're going to allow here. It just says keep voting, and the results of the fan vote will be shared with the selection committee. So, which I want to ask you a question about the selection committee after we talk about this part.
Okay.
So we will talk. I will tell you the other nominees for this thing, and just for the sake of you want to do baseball style, where it's like in, not in, or sure. Do you want to say just pick three out of this one?
We'll go in or out.
Okay. So I will. We'll just go in order what I have, and you say in or out. Ready? So Red Berenson.
In.
I believe so. He should be in this year, too. Scotty Bowman. Mind you, they got the Blues into the Stanley Cup Finals the first
Yeah, I know. Years. I know. I'm going to say out.
For this year. I say inaugural class. I would say he's going to be in there eventually.
He'll be in, but yeah.
A lot of these guys are, to my opinion, okay, real quick, before we get in further. A lot of these guys should be first ballot, like Blues Hall of Fame things that they had this sure. going for a long time.
Sure.
It's just obviously this is the first one we're going through, so people are going to be like, why don't pick Scotty Bowman? Right. He was the best. He's the coach who got to the NHL Finals for Berube, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Pavel Dimitra.
In because he's dead.
Oh, well, I'd say in as well. So he is the posthumous guy, posthumously inducted. Glenn Hall, I say no for me.
I say no.
This is for me because it's me. Barrett Jackman.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I know what the answer should be, but I know what my heart's going to say.
How many? Is there a limit to how many people go in?
They said there's none. There's no. So it's to me, it's like I think they'll probably pick, and they'll probably, and then they're going to have the fan vote. Basically, have a bunch of guys, and then the selection committee picks them after that.
I say in because he's recent, and that's gonna draw votes.
I just because he's one of my favorite players of all time, so I'll pick that. And then probably one of my favorite goalies of all time, Curtis Joseph.
Absolutely in.
Mike Liute.
No.
I would say yes. I say no on Joseph and Liute because
really,
you,
we're gonna flip it.
For me, I am. I mean, that's you. You can do that. That's fine. Adam Oates.
Oof. Out.
For this year, I say out. Alexander Steen.
In because of the cup.
I say out for right now. Gary Unger.
In.
Out. Take it back. Rewind. In. Keith Tkachuk.
In.
Out.
Really?
Like I said, I'm trying to be selective where it's like, unfortunately, it's like the first one. So all these guys, in my opinion, I would vote in.
They'll all get in, but yeah.
So I'm just trying to be like who I think should be in the first ever. Pierre Turgeon.
Out.
Out. David Backes.
Out.
Out. Wayne Babich.
Out.
Out. Al Arbor.
In.
In. Yeah. So, player coach for a while, too. So, yeah. Like, that's, I think it's a very cool thing. So, so we had Berenson, Dimitra. I had Jackman. Did you have Hall or not?
No. I had Jackman.
Yeah, Jackman. You had Joseph. I had no Joseph. I had Liute. You said no on Liute. Oates, we were out on. Steen, we were out. Unger, we were out. Flipped on Tkachuk. Out on Turgeon, Backes, and Babich, but Arbor is in. So that's what we have going, and obviously easy for me. I would say if it was a perfect world, these guys should have been – we've been doing this for years, and this should have been – these guys all should have been in.
Absolutely.
It's hard for – then you pick one or two like the Cardinals do. You know, they had Edgar Renteria a couple of years ago and stuff like that. You know, like I'm saying, so
– you know what's funny is what day was it this week? I think it was Thursday or Friday, NHL Network Radio did a who are the top five players for all time for your team. And obviously, you know, people started calling and going, well, is it for what they did on your team or just top five players that were on your team? And they go, no, it's got to be top five players for what they did on your team. And I think that's a big denotation because what I submitted was Hall, McInnes, Pronger, Federko, Tarasenko.
I agree.
And I said, you know, honorable mention just due to their names, not necessarily what they did for the team, was I said Gretzky, Brodeur, Howerchuk, Shanahan,
I think there was someone else. I don't remember who it was.
But yeah, I mean, they lose. That's the funny thing. The Blues have always had a lot of guys who have had great NHL careers, and either A,
for sure,
near the end of their career here. Like we're gonna say, Paul Kariya had a great career.
Doug Gilmour,
yeah, who had started his career here.
Esa Tikkanen,
yeah. Craig McTavish is now a coach here. Had a pretty solid career, so he's filling in for not filling in, but taking over for Jim Montgomery, who's the coach of the Boston Bruins now.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting follow as well during the season to see if what his style is compared to Montgomery. So Montgomery did very well after. Props to him too for getting an NHL coaching job after what he, you know, obviously losing his job in Dallas for having the obviously alcohol issues. Blues took a flyer on him to come back, gave him a chance, and worked out for both sides as he made the forward group and that power play top notch.
Yes,
we used to complain about that power play constantly, and that turned into one of the top five in the league. And honestly, that's why the Blues had many goals they had last year.
Yes, it is.
So interesting stuff there. So. Blues getting in the top of two or three in the league, in the Central. So that's our Blues preview. I think we got it, knocked out everything for the year, or a year for this one at least.
Yeah, for this one.
For this year, we're shutting it down. So no.
Yep, shutting down the studio.
So we'll wrap it up there. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's at BluesHockeyNHL.
I'm at Hossapalooza.
And if you want to find us on either Facebook or Instagram, it's at BluesHockeyPodcast. Go to our website, and you have BluesHockeyPodcast.net or .com. Either one will work. In there, you'll find a mixture of a bunch of stuff. All the podcasts we've ever done are on there. You can find links to all our sponsors, a link to our merch tab, which we still have merch, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The new logo is out there, so I want to work on some stuff, but the end of the year is ridiculous for me. So
always.
Like, it was a little side note for everybody, and this, who cares about Jason's personal life, but we're going to do it anyway. So, obviously, just turned 40. Fantastic. Had a good time at Will's place. We had Rockstar Taco, which we'll talk about. It just life picks up because I have this, and then we get to go to Kansas City next weekend, which is great. So, we'll probably have a podcast a little delayed next week. Or maybe we'll do On the Road podcast.
That'd be fun.
So, we'll do we have a lot of stuff. I have a lot of stuff going on. It's just like this, and my anniversary is – my 15-year anniversary is next the week after that. And then – the kid is a teenager after that, a couple weeks after that, and then it's Thanksgiving 2 weeks after that, and then it's Christmas 6 weeks later.
I know.
It's like Jesus Bonkers. Christ. So literally, like from me and my wife's birthday happened, because it's very cute that we're born on the same day. So it's just crazy into the end of the year. From end of September to December 31st is like just a whirlwind. So like fitting in the podcast is like my settle down and get to relax for a little bit. Time. So I want to do some other stuff with the merch and stuff. It's just been literally I'd rather record and get content out there for you guys to listen to.
Absolutely.
And other stuff. So we got all that on there. And also you got a link to our sponsors. So if you look on there, there's a link to Rockstar Tacos. It's 4916 Shaw. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 10. So we were just there last night. That's where we got celebrating birthday and stuff. So Will was awesome as usual. Thanks to Will and Rebecca for being hospitable as always and cooking some fantastic effing food that everybody had enjoyed and had fun with.
Way better than Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, correct. And Chuck E. Cheese will be hella fun as well. So, yes. But Chuck E. Cheese for your birthday? Birthday? Anyway, look that up on the YouTube if you don't know what I'm talking about. So you have that. And then next is Lucky Lola. So Lucky Lola's has... the sweet jalapeno heat and Chris's favorite
salmon rub, man. It's been nice the last couple of days. Get some of your last minute grilling in there. Get out there, rub your salmon while the sun's still out,
and put smoke some salmon and put a little bit on there. They have that, and they'll have a bunch of stuff. We'll look at Schnucks, Fresh Time, Deerberg's. There's a bunch of places. I know they're expanding out. They have some places out in Kansas City now that has it, so we can pick some up when we're in Kansas City next weekend.
We can. True story.
So we have that going on. So last but not least, and also a fun little thing we're going to announce here for our friends over at Altered State Comics. Look for them at 671 Big Ben Road in Manchester, alteredstatecomics.com. You can order comics on there for delivery, and they'll ship them to you. But the fun thing we have is you go into the store, so they're closed on Mondays. So go in Tuesday, which will be the 11th. Tuesday the 11th through the home opener. Home opener is the 15th, so the end of the day on the 15th. You go in there and you spend $10. And you get a ticket for a bunch of stuff that we're giving away. We have a Blues Stanley Cup banner. We have a Justin Falk rally towel, some koozies to give away, some stickers, a little prize pack to open up the season over there, courtesy of us over at the Blues Hockey Podcast for the guys over at Altered State. So go to Altered State, spend $10, you get a ticket, and you could win some good stuff. We're going to do some more giveaways as the season comes along here. We'll have some fun stuff to give away as the season progresses. So go to Altered State Comics for all your comics and collectible needs today. So I think that wraps it up for us finally. We're going to go relax a little bit. It's been a long weekend.
Fun weekend, but a long weekend. Glad Monday's off.
Yeah, no kidding, for once. So Blues, big Blues preview. Like I said, we're going to have some fun stuff coming up soon. Working on it the best we can. We'll have some new voices in here hopefully soon.
Yep.
And it'll be a good time. So looking forward to some Blues hockey finally after the long summer. So
indeed.
So thanks again for sticking with us again. So I know we've been doing this for a long time now. Me and Chris both enjoy it still.
Yeah.
So we enjoy everybody listening to us. I still think it's I see numbers come through, and it's, you know, it's a good number, and I'm just blown away at my people like to listen to me talk about hockey. So I appreciate every single person where you listen to this, wherever you are, in St. Louis, United States, Canada,
Earth,
somewhere on Earth, maybe not Earth,
maybe
who knows? But it's a couple
first contact.
Yeah, you never know. I know we had a couple into Australia, so maybe Australia, good day.
All right.
Good day, mate.
Maybe that's Walker's family.
Could be. So I appreciate everybody. So we have everybody listening all over the world, which is very insane to me. So thank you. Thanks for the love. We appreciate it. I'm rambling like I always do. So love you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Lieutenant. Gonna take you out.